More or less, Harper agreed, yet he also gave Tybald a moderately quelling look. The title the upper priest had just bestowed upon Duke Sunrising was absolutely correct, but the Admiral General knew the flag captain had not used its grandiloquent entirety as a compliment. Harper couldn't fault Tybald's opinion, but certain appearances had to be maintained, and the flag captain half-dipped his head, acknowledging the unspoken rebuke.
"Actually," the Admiral General went on, "they do seem to be keeping somewhat better station this morning, don't they?"
"It may have something to do with those schooners yesterday, my lord," Tybald said dryly, and Harper snorted.
The humor in that snort was minimal. He'd found himself wishing more than once. In fact, he doubted there'd been a single half hour during this entire miserable, interminable trek in which he hadn't wished that Captain General Maguire had decided against lumbering him with his Harchongese allies. Their miserable seamanship, lack of discipline, and prickly self-importance would have made them a questionable asset at the best of times. The fact that the majority of their ships were completely or almost completely unarmed only made bad worse. Even one of the Carizian schooners could strike at an unarmed galleon with impunity, and the handful of armed, wretchedly handled Harchongese galleons were woefully inadequate to fend them off, which was why Harper had been forced to detach an entire squadron of his own galleons to do the job for them.
"Maybe we can convince Sunrising to sell his ships to Desnair after we reach Ithria," he wondered wistfully. "Jarus isn't exactly a brilliant master of the seaways, but he's got to be better than the Harchongese, and the whole idea was to get Desnarian guns put aboard them because their own foundries weren't up to the task. Surely I can convince Vicar Elaine we ought to put Desnarian crews aboard to make sure the guns actually get used eventually."
"I wonder when the Carizians are going to stop dancing and actually attack, my lord," Tybald said in a considerably more somber tone.
He waved his chocolate cup to windward, where a trio of those omnipresent, maddeningly maneuverable Carizian schooners paced Harper's formation.
"I admit it's irritating when the schooners dart in, but Caleb can't really think they're going to do any sort of significant damage."
"Not as long as our formation holds," Harper agreed. "But remember what it was like in the Passage of Storms. If those schooners had turned up then..."
He let his voice trail off and shrugged, and Tybald nodded.
"I understand what you're saying, my lord, but unless another gale makes up, which it could in these waters at this time of year, it's unlikely we'll get scattered again. Caleb's too smart to be counting on something like that, and he's running out of time. Once we get through the Taro Channel and Jarus sorties to meet us, it'll be too late. Unless he wants to wade into all of us, at any rate."
It was Harper's turn to nod. He and Tybald had discussed this very point often enough, and he knew the flag captain was right. If Caleb of Carus didn't strike soon, he'd lose the opportunity completely.
"Well, according to our latest dispatches, he's still blockading the Howard Passage," the Admiral General pointed out now. "I know anything from Jarus is at least 2 or 3 5 days out of date by the time it gets to us, semaphore or no semaphore, but even allowing for that, the majority of Caleb's strength still has to be south of us."
Harper grimaced.
"I suppose it's possible he really is going to let us catch him between us and the Desnarian coast."
"No, my lord, he's not," Tybald disagreed, respectfully but firmly. "I'm astonished he's spent so long off Desnair already, but he'll never let us pin him against the coast. You're probably right that he's still south of us, but in that case, my money's on his sailing to meet us somewhere inside the Taro Channel itself. He's going to be badly outnumbered, whatever happens, and if Vicar Elaine's little sleight of hand worked, he may have diverted a sizable portion of his total strength to Chisholm and Coruscant. In that case, he's going to be outnumbered very badly, and he may figure engaging us in the channel would constrict our movements enough to offset some of that. But one way or the other, he'll hit us before we reach the Gulf of Matthias. Either that, or else he's going to realize we're too strong for him to challenge at sea, and concentrate on getting out of the way, and then defending his own harbors instead.
Harper raised one eyebrow, but he didn't dispute Tybald's analysis. First, because it made sense. But secondly, because Tybald had demonstrated to Harper's satisfaction that he had a superior grasp of both tactical and strategic implications. In many ways, the bishop felt Tybald would have made a better admiral general than he did. Unfortunately, the underpriest lacked the seniority for that assignment, and Harper considered himself extraordinarily lucky to have him for an advisor. And a teacher, really, the bishop admitted to himself.
Well, it was Harper's turn to indicate the watching schooners with a flick of his head. At least we can be pretty sure Caleb's going to know where to find us when he wants us.